Coming to you on some serious tape delay via a podcast near you. From that hockey hotbed of San Jose, California, it's Dudes on Hockey.
He is now accepting callers, he is calling me Dude!
And now, your hosts, Mike and Doug.
Hey there, and welcome to Dudes on Hockey. I'm Mike, that's Doug.
Dude, we really gotta watch what we say tonight.
Yeah?
Because it's possible with any slight misstep that Brendan Shanahan might suspend us.
He might, and there might be cameras rolling. I know past few weeks we've bleeped out a fair number of words, and if there's a camera rolling and they catch our lips saying a word that we shouldn't,
it's possible you could get suspended, although in the case of Sean Avery and Mr.
Wayne Simmons,
there was no suspension handed down today.
Which is surprising. We'll talk about that in a minute. I think we have lots of NHL news, but we have had some preseason games.
Well, there's been some hockey.
There's been
four games since we last talked.
I know. That's a lot.
Right? Four games? Yeah. Anaheim.
Thursday, Friday, Saturday.
A deuce against Anaheim.
Mm-hmm.
Phoenix.
Mm-hmm.
And then Vancouver.
That's right.
And so far, the Sharks, undefeated.
Undefeated.
It feels so good when it means absolutely nothing.
And by nothing, I really mean nothing.
It means nothing. But there has been some big stuff to talk about in terms of, you know, players on the ice, players off the ice, the battles for those bottom four forward spots. Who's going to end up starting in net at the beginning of the year, dude? What's kind of caught your eye from the first four games?
Well, I know people are asking us about the third line. We get some emails or tweets about
it. We did get an email.
Okay. I'm going to let you pull that up, but the thing is, I can't stress enough how little the results of these games mean. They really mean nothing. Of course, it's extremely pleasurable to watch the Sharks just kick the living crap out of the Ducks. I mean, that just never gets old, regardless of the situation. But the fact that they beat them by four goals or one goal or however many, it matters nothing at all. I mean, the Sedins weren't playing, and, you know, the second line of the Sharks wasn't playing last night or against Vancouver. It really means nothing. The point of the preseason is to try to evaluate individual players, maybe playing with other players, see if they have some sort of chemistry, see if they can produce, albeit in a sort of fake situation.
Right, and we've seen some definite chemistry between that top line.
Oh, yeah.
It is delicious,
mm-hmm.
scrumptious.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like I'm on the Food Network.
It is.
It is awesome. So far, Pavelski, Thornton, and Marlow, as they were kind of messing with people at Teal and White, that was kind of the case on Friday night, too, where they were just punking the Ducks mm-hmm. all night. You know, it was a total domination station by that top line, and they looked like they were having fun doing it. They were everywhere. They just seemed to be in total sync, something that we never saw that with Heatley. We really never
right.
did. You saw it in flashes with Seto, but with Heatley, it never was totally like that, where they could complete each other's moves everywhere. Pavelski, he looks like a really dangerous member on the right-hand side there, dude.
Yes, you're right. And there are certainly flashes of brilliance to Danny Heatley and some great goals and some great passes, but it seems like the pressure, well, again, this is the preseason, and how much do we have to discount it? Basically, we have to discount it 100%, but there was a lot of great possessions, and you're right. They seem to be, they already sort of know where the other guy's going to be, and they have the will and the skill to get to the place they need to be to keep that low cycle possession going. Or
right.
You know,
now, they are playing against questionable defensemen at times.
Mets, maybe.
You know, Anaheim didn't throw out their best defensemen in that game. There was no Tony Lidman. There was mm-hmm. no Vishnovsky.
Mm-hmm.
We did see Fowler. We did not see Lucas Spisa. Curtis Foster is hurt.
We saw Beauchemin.
Right. We saw Beauchemin. Oh, we saw Beauchemin. He did a little dance with, who did he fight with? Brandon Mashita, right?
Yeah.
And then Brad Winchester fought with the newly released Mark Bell, who was sent back down to the AHL. Poor Mark Bell. You know, I was kind of rooting for him to get another crack in the NHL, but just doesn't seem like that's in the cards for him, although he did accept his assignment to the AHL, dude. The question here, and I think the hot topic really, is those third and fourth lines. We get a question here from Chris from Boston saying, hey, dudes, do you think that Brad Winchester will make the team? He looks like a real SOB to play against and might be a great agitator, but those penalties in Vancouver are worrying. That's part one of the question, dude. What's your take right now on Winchester's status on the roster?
Well,
unsigned at the moment.
We thought Andres Lilja had a pretty good shot. So last year, and that shows you how little we know. At this moment, I'd say Brad Winchester definitely has the inside track to make the team. For me, I would say there has not been a single player that is a better fourth liner for the Sharks right now than Brad Winchester. So
right.
he is my number one. I would pick him over Andrew Murray at this point.
Yeah.
So, you know, Brad Winchester to me is a stone lock at the moment to be on the fourth line. A couple penalties here and there. You know, that's what he does. He plays a little bit on the edge. I don't have a problem with it. I know Tom McClellan basically said the same thing in some comments released after that game.
The thing with Winchester right now in the preseason, he's out there a heck of a lot more than he will be in a regular season game.
Right.
I mean, you're looking at Winchester's going to play between 6 and 8 minutes probably, mm-hmm. unless he is on the third line. But I'm thinking he'd be on the fourth line 6 to 8 minutes. He's not going to play any special teams. You know, he's not going to be out there against their top players in late in the game situations. So those penalties, while they're probably a product of Brad Winchester, I don't know if, when I've seen him so far. And like you said, preseason doesn't tell you the whole story, but he doesn't seem to be, how do I want to say this delicately? An idiot like Ben Eager. Okay?
Yeah.
Like Ben Eager, as much as I enjoyed his play on the line, you know, he made some really stupid choices,
right.
you know, at times, and kind of played his way out of the lineup, not just with his penalties, but his ineffectiveness.
Right.
So I'm with you, dude, but we've been wrong before. I think I thought Hinote was going to make the team. He didn't. Mm-hmm. Lilja did not make it. The history of tryouts with the Sharks is not good.
No.
You know, Jeff Friesen didn't make it. Woo, Jeff Friesen. How about that tryout?
Yeah.
So I don't know if the odds are still not on his side, dude, because that's another guaranteed contract. We looked at this. You have 50 maximum contracts. You lose the contracts of players that go back to junior.
Mm-hmm. Well, they don't count.
Right. Yeah. So they don't count. So I think that we calculated the Sharks are either in the high 40s, like 47, 48.
Yeah, but almost everybody is.
Right. So then you add Winchester, they're at 49. I mean, I'm just saying it limits you a little bit in terms of then you can't just acquire players for picks,
right?
Which is sort of Wilson's, you know, move du jour down the road if you're that tight against the roster limits. So I don't know, but I'm hoping it happens. I think it makes the Sharks a better team, and don't you think that's the way they got to go?
Yes.
The goal is to win now, right?
Yes.
And Winchester makes you a better team now.
I believe you're right.
All right. So then we've just made the decision.
Okay, good.
Brad Winchester's on the team.
Okay, good.
Part two. Okay. Secondly, who is going to kill penalties on this team? Looks like Wingless. He calls him Wingless. Wingles. Maybe that's a typo. Okay. Might make the team, or we've come up with a new nickname. But I don't see a lot of big, tough forwards to play the kill. Do the Sharks need to bring in a penalty kill specialist for the third line?
I thought they already did, Michael Hanzus.
Right.
That's Michael Hanzus' forte. That's his bread and butter. You know, he's certainly more of a specialist on the penalty kill than Brad Mayers or Scott Nichol were, and they were both played a lot of kill last year. So I feel more secure with Michael Hanzus on the kill than I do with either of those two guys. Him, Torrey Mitchell, you know, Patrick Marleau's always been a good penalty killer. We even saw Joe Thornton and Danny Healy playing the kill last year. We've seen Joe Pavelski play the kill as well. I don't think the Sharks are going to be hurting for penalty killers at this point. I think Andrew Murray might be, if he ends up making the team. I think Andrew Murray killed penalties in Columbus. He might be another candidate. I'm not saying I am, you know, thrilled with the way the PK has been working, but again, you know, this isn't a full lineup. We saw the Ducks score like 10 seconds into their power play. So that's not great, but I don't see a lack of players that can play the penalty kill being the problem right now. The question is, can those players be effective and kill penalties actually better than they did last year? So I don't know. Do you disagree with me, dude?
No, it is just a matter of effectiveness. I still think they're missing that one guy, you know, that right wing on the third line. I don't think that player is here yet, and I think that player is going to arrive at some point during the year, mm-hmm. and that player, one of the things they'll be asked to do is kill penalties. Mm-hmm. So who can, you know, bide the time till then? I think it's going to be by committee, really.
I think so.
You know, you're not going to see four main guys out there. You've got about a stable of 6 to 8 forwards who are capable. I'd like to see Joe Thornton out there as much as possible. You don't want to ride him into the ground, but
right.
You know, as committed as he is to playing defense now, you know, that's pretty tough if you got Hanzus and Jumbo out there trying to kill penalties at the same time, and that's going to be tough for some teams to handle.
Yeah.
You have them out there together, so we'll see what happens.
Yeah, yeah. So I guess the Wingles question then naturally springs up, because it appears, at least for the moment, and, you know, it could change tomorrow, Tommy Wingles is skating on the third line, and that seems to be... That's the position that's the most up for grabs in my mind, even more so than the fourth line. I mean, you can plug in some guys. It seems like you got 3 or 4 guys that are probably pretty close. Murray, Desjardins, Winchester, and you could even go, you know, Mashinter.
Mashinter's gone. Can't forget about Ben Ferriero, dude.
That's right.
Ben Ferriero has been playing on the second line with Klo and Couture. So what happens? Havlat's now got the non-contact jersey off. I guess it's a possibility we might see Havlat on Thursday night. They haven't said yes. Mm-hmm. They haven't said no. You know, Niemi was taking shots today in practice. Might we see one or both of them Thursday? Maybe.
Niemi or Havlat?
Right. Because I think Ferriero... what happens to Ben Ferriero here then? Does he become the healthy scratch? Do you send him back to Worcester? Because he's not the right guy for a bottom six forward spot.
That's
right?
The problem with Ben Ferriero in a nutshell, right? I mean, he's a scorer at the AHL level. He's a top liner at the AHL level. But you bring him up, and he has not yet been able to change the way he plays and been an effective third line player, where his job isn't to score goals. It's to stop good players from scoring. It's to be irritating to the other team. That doesn't seem to be the way Ben Ferriero plays. So to me, he's the guy on the second line. Havlat comes in, he drops completely out of the lineup. I don't think he moves down to the third or fourth line.
Right.
So it's unfortunate for Ben Ferriero, and maybe he's actively working hard to change the way he plays and trying to acquire those skills and abilities to play third and fourth line minutes. But right now, I just don't see it.
So if Wingles is on the third line, and he's been effective in the preseason, he's been scoring. McClellan praised him heavily today. If you're Jamie McGinn right now, do you just maybe want out of here? I mean, do you feel like McGinn is getting a fair shake, dude? What's the deal? Why is McGinn constantly wearing the dunce hat for Todd McClellan?
I don't know. And I'm certainly not qualified to say if he's getting a, quote, fair shake or not. I mean, maybe he's a jerk. I have no idea.
Right.
I have no idea what's going on with Jamie McGinn. But it certainly seems like if there's a guy to be left out, he's always the first guy to get left out.
Yeah, it's been the track record so far. He's the one who ends up playing the fewest minutes. He's right. The one who gets shipped to Worcester back and forth. Last year, he was kind of the whipping boy until he showed up in the playoffs and made an impact
in a bad way.
I mean, he was a very effective energy player in that Detroit series. He was. They were afraid of him. I'm going to be sad to see him potentially not have a defined role on this team, you know. So I still think Desjardins is a lock to me. I think he's got that.
The fourth line center job
is his. And let's assume Winchester is there too. So now you've got Ferriero, you've got Andrew Murray, and you've got Jamie McGinn. You're going to keep two of them? Last year they kept two healthy scratches to start the year. They had McCarthy and... Now, we're not even talking about McCarthy.
Exactly.
And Cam McIntyre. Mm-hmm. They're both still up. But so far, to me, not a factor, really.
I haven't seen anything amazing. And maybe I'm just not watching the right things, but I haven't seen anything. I mean, Tommy Wingles obviously has points on the scoreboard, but I don't see a third-line game in this kid yet. I feel like he's got Jamie McGinn disease right now. And you know, Jamie McGinn was the guy who played with Logan Couture in juniors, and we said, is this a guy that can play third line minutes? I feel like McGinn at least has changed his game, but I don't see that with Wingles yet. And maybe I'm just not seeing what the coaches are seeing, but I unless he can go and find the Logan Couture on the other team and check him during the teal and white game, every game.
Right.
I haven't seen that kind of game from Tommy Wingles. He's not going to go and be able to score two goals against, you know,
and most other teams,
most NHL
lines,
competition
right.
at this yeah. point. I just don't see it.
Difficult. So
especially if you're playing with Michael Hontzius and Torrey Mitchell. I mean, I'm not saying those guys are punks, but that's not, they're not going to light up the scoreboard like that. And if that's what you want Tommy Wingles to do, it seems like he's going to be miscast.
Well, I guess you can't ignore the guy who's producing.
True.
You know, the guy who's, he's scoring goals. He apparently has caught the coaching staff's eye. They're going to give him a shot. He'll play on the third line on Thursday, it looks like. At least that's how they're doing it at practice right now. And see how it plays out. If he has another good game, then he's got a kind of a stranglehold on that role.
Right. And it seems like McGinn has worn his welcome out at this point.
Gosh, do you think he is a possible, even go so far as a roster casualty?
Oh, sure, easily.
Now, you can't send him down, right? I mean, McGinn has too much service time to just be sent to Worcester. He'd have to go through waivers.
I believe that's
and then you'd never keep him. I mean, he would be claimed automatically,
Are
don't you think?
Are you sure?
Well, I got to think, yes.
I'm not sure about that.
Really?
Yeah, you see some guys clear waivers all the time, and you get a little
Yeah,
surprised.
Usually those guys are... I guess maybe I'm overvaluing yeah, Jamie McGinn.
Maybe.
Who am I, Doug Wilson? So I guess we have some opinions, but obviously a lot left to be determined. There's always, you know, got to take into account the injury factor too.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, anything can happen in the last preseason games. And also if Havlat is deemed not healthy enough, then, you know, maybe you see an extra guy stick up here just in case he's not able to play on a consistent basis, you know.
As for Niemi, for whatever reason, I don't think he's going to play on Thursday because the big question mark is who's going to back him up. And I thought Grice looked not bad against the Ducks, but I thought Sitteri looked better against Phoenix.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously, you know, Sitteri had the shutout and all that. And he said himself said during the game, you know, in the early part of the game, man, bad rebound by Sitteri. But he seemed to sort of calm down. He seemed to be, in better control of where the puck was going to go after it hit him as the game went on. And I thought he put together a bunch of really good stops in a row. So, you know, given the very limited amount of things I've seen from either goaltender, and, you know, I haven't been going to the practices and so forth, but right now it looks like Sateri's better, at least in my eyes right now. And I would think the coaching staff would want to get even more time out of these guys, and I think they'll get it on Thursday.
It'll be telling to see who plays Thursday. If it's Sitteri, then maybe there's still an open competition. If it's mm-hmm. Grice, then it's done. You know, mm-hmm. then the book is closed, because that would be five preseason games. Four of them go to Grice.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're not going to go with Sitteri just based on one good game. I thought Grice was fine against Anaheim. The one time he was really tested on the power play on the first shot, he let in a goal that was his fault. So right. Unscreened shot from the point on the power play, that was his fault. You know, mm-hmm. it was Getzlaf, I think, who scored that goal. And you know, that's a save you want to see an NHL goaltender make.
Right.
Unscreened, you got to make that save. He played fine in Vancouver,
mm-hmm.
you know, but Vancouver also didn't have
lots of
guys. I mean, most of the guys on the ice got cut the next day.
Yeah.
You know,
which brings me to the funny story. I don't know if everybody saw it on Puck Daddy, but I guess there's a rule in the CBA that says if you're going to play preseason games, you have to dress a certain number of veterans, and they go on to have this definition of what a veteran is. And one of those definitions is you have to have played 100 NHL games in your career. And so Vancouver brought in all these like wacky guys on trial contracts. Nico Dimitrakos, of all people, who played last year in the German Elite League and wasn't that good, to be honest.
He wasn't that good when he was in the NHL.
Right, exactly. And he played in the Swedish Elite League the year before that. So clearly he wasn't good enough to play in the Swedish Elite League. So he moved down to the German Elite League. And now he's on a tryout with the Vancouver Canucks, the team that went to the Stanley Cup Finals. Manny Legacy, right. Owen Nolan, we saw. So there's a rule that says you have to have these veterans play in the preseason games, and it turns out all the guys that Vancouver invited to camp on a tryout basis qualified as NHL veterans for the preseason game. So it appears now even Nolan has been cut along with Dimitrakos. It appears that's the reason why Vancouver brought him on, is because they wanted extra buffers to play in preseason, and they didn't want to have to play Kessler and the Sedins and Luongo for preseason games. They wanted to be able to pick and choose when and if they ever played, and if they didn't want to play him, then just throw Dimitrakos out there. He counts as much of a veteran as Henrik Sedin does. Uh-huh. And so now that the preseason is almost over, they're basically all out on their ear.
So, I feel bad for Owen Nolan. You know,
me too.
It's a sad way to see a guy who's a really good NHL player potentially end his career by, you know, getting released. You know, it's one of those situations that if he's going to retire, I know he's not in that Modano status, but it would be nice to see him somehow end up, you know, retiring as a Shark. You know, I think that he'll always be that face of the team that first really, you know, had that legitimate shot of winning a Stanley Cup by making the conference finals, and he's a Shark. He's a lifetime Shark to me.
So yeah, I agree.
Hopefully, there's some way to get him back involved, like Ricci and Marchment in the organization, right? In some way.
And the word was that even after he got cut and he was on his way out of the arena, he was signing autographs.
Yeah,
for fans,
I read that,
kind of
too. Super classy.
That is way classy.
Good times, Buster.
Really hard to. I can't. Being that pissed off, I would think it'd be easy just to walk past those guys, get into your car, and drive away. But he had the presence of mind to continue understanding where his bread was buttered. So good on him.
Yeah.
Dude, I think, are we pretty much done with Sharks news? Because there's a lot of NHL news that we can talk about.
I think that we are done with Sharks news, but we have two other emails. Dude, and this one does have to do with the Sharks, and it ties into something else that I read today, too. This is from a girl named Blake. Hello, dudes. Can you believe Roundtable did not sign on for another year of Four in the Net Pizza you get? What a bummer.
Dude.
My husband and I ate a lot of free pizza last year, and it always made that fourth goal extra special. So she's throwing out some ideas of some potential replacements. How about Chipotle with 5 goals or In-N-Out Burger, double-double in a double, 2 goals in 2 minutes would earn a fan an In-N-Out double-double. I like that idea personally.
Yeah.
So she's asking, what fast food restaurant do you think would be a good match for a promotion with the Sharks? Do you have any ideas off the top of your head?
How about Five in the Net, Five Guys you get?
Ooh.
You've been to Five Guys Burgers?
I haven't.
It's good.
Several
of my friends already think it's better than In-N-Out. It's close. It's really, really good. So I'm a fan of Five Guys. I would vote for that. I know usually they would be, you know, already have a presence in the arena, and Five Guys doesn't. So that's not very likely. But Five Guys would be my first choice.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's a good one, dude.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was going to go with Taco Bravo.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Four in the net explosive you get.
Right.
How about that?
Right. That'd be good. Yeah. So you get like a free coupon to Taco Bravo and a free coupon for Rolaids.
Anyone from the Bay Area knows what we're talking about.
Oh, yes.
The Bravo, an institution in Campbell for sure.
Certainly
is. Five Guys, that's a good idea. This ties into something I read today saying that evidently that there's going to be some serious upgrades at HP in the food category. I guess they're bringing in Amici's,
yeah,
and Sonoma Chicken Coop, some sort of cupcake stand, right. And there was someone else too, dude. I can't remember. Something else that sounded pretty good. So I noticed that some of the stands were closed when we were there. Maybe that's because they're gearing up for these new food stands. So be on the lookout for that at the Sharks games, dude. I was excited about that. I wonder what they'll be offering. I like the chicken coop.
Yeah, I like chicken coop too. Yeah, that'll be good.
Good, good.
And I don't think I've ever had a Michi's.
It's good.
Oh, yeah?
Yes, we have. We went after the
oh, that's right.
The Red Wings victory in in 2 years ago. We
That's
went.
Right. That's we right. did. That's we the did. Only time I think I've ever been there.
It
so
was, it was
maybe Roundtable like cut out because Amici's wants to move in and they're like all mad about
maybe,
it.
Maybe. I don't know. That's possible.
Anyway.
Possible. It could also have cost them a lot of.
Dude, I know food talk is very important to the Sharks. Do we have any other emails?
We do have another email that has to do with center ice, which is something that I know I still have subscribed to. We have this email from Adam in Sunnyvale. Dudes, due to the remodeling of my house, I will be without cable for around a month. I was thinking about buying NHL Game Center Live, but I don't want to end up paying $160 for something I won't use. Any thoughts on this product?
I think it's really cool.
Yeah.
To be perfectly honest. If I had the opportunity of getting regular center ice on my TV, I probably would get that instead. But Game Center Live has a lot of really cool features that is useful. I think we talked last year about the Game Digest, which is kind of nice. Of course, you get one of the best things about it is you get a library of games that have happened in the past that you can watch over again. So that's super cool. So like if the Sharks are playing Chicago, like if Chicago played a week ago,
you can go back and watch it.
You can go back and watch the whole game if you want. So that's kind of neat. You can't do that if you get center ice on your TV. So I like that very much. Even the streaming player has like some sort of like TiVo type features. You can pause it and that kind of stuff.
Right.
So I've been actually really pretty happy with the thing overall, and I'll be buying it again this season because again I can't get center ice on my television package, so I'll be buying Game Center again, and I won't be upset about it at all.
I have it too. I re-upped. I'm very excited to watch it on my iPad.
Ooh, that's nasty.
I've got the Game Center app here and I'm looking at it, and you can watch archived games. They've got you know, NHL players tweeting on it. It's a great thing, I think. You know, if you want to check out what's going on around the league, it's the best way to keep tabs on it. I also watch it on my PS3. You know, you can
get it
through your PS3 on your TV if your cable provider doesn't offer Game Center.
See, I have Xbox. See, I can't even get it through that. So
dude, you just gotta get an iPad.
Yeah, I guess
What's wrong with you?
Yeah.
Come on.
I guess you're right. I can just watch it on my computer.
Saddle up.
I have a bigger screen on my computer than you do on your iPad.
You can take it anywhere.
Yeah, I guess you're right. All right. Anyway, I guess that's it. Let's move on to NHL news.
Dude. Okay.
Lots of stuff happening. We already talked about a lot of the ex-Sharks getting shown the door. Nolan Dimitrakos, Jonathan Chichu.
Right.
Another one.
Are you surprised?
No, but like you said about Nolan, I was hoping Cheech could catch
her.
I was hoping.
Yeah, but I give Cheech credit for not giving up, man. You know,
yeah.
And I want to see him land back in the NHL and do great, but it's got to be soon. I mean, how many more times can you get kicked to the curb?
Yeah.
So I hope he lights it up in the AHL and gets back in the lineup with the Blues.
All right, dude. Well, I guess we can talk about, discipline issues have been the other big news of the week, various and sundry.
You've been bad.
Yeah, you've been evil. See, and there's been sort of a new institution put out by Brendan Shanahan, who's now like the new Colin Campbell. Although Colin Campbell's, he did something about the Wayne Simmons incident with Avery, which we'll talk about.
It wasn't like a physical altercation.
I'm not sure why Shanahan wasn't in on that. But anyway, I guess maybe Shanahan just does the on-ice stuff. Okay. But anyway, so the new thing is there's been a bunch of incidents, Jody Shelley being involved in one of them, I think the first one, and then there's been several since. Where suspensions have been handed out, and Brendan Shanahan has this new practice where they release a video of him talking, and he basically goes through his rationale as to what happened on the play. They show a video of the play, they show the rule, and you know, they highlight parts of the rule, and he says, this is what the guy did and this is what I think he did, and for that reason he gets, you know, he gets a 2-game suspension or whatever it is. And so are you appreciative of this new methodology of handing out punishment, dude? Or is this just like window dressing and nobody cares?
No, I am appreciative of the explanations, but I do think the amount of, I'm not keeping up with every mm-hmm. hit of what's happened, but the amount of suspensions so far is, I guess, I don't know, dude, it's a little alarming to me. Mm-hmm. Like, the amount of suspensions that are happening
right
now, some of the guys who are getting them, you're like, okay, you know, like you look at Jean-Francois Jacques got a suspension. Jody Shelley gets a suspension. But then you're looking at someone like Brad Boyes gets suspended.
Right.
And now he's considered a repeat offender by the league.
Mm-hmm.
When this guy's never been suspended, I don't even know if he's had like a double minor penalty in his career. And it'd be like, I don't want to put him in the same category as Patrick Marleau, but, you know, interesting. And I didn't see that hit. And I know he hit, I can't remember what happened, but. I don't know. Are you kind of? I'm kind of turned off by all the suspensions. Like every day, someone's going to get suspended.
Well, you know, I've said before in a long time ago, and I can't remember exactly when we had this conversation. But my biggest problem with the way the league hands out punishment or had done it in the past is the players were not able to predict what was going to happen when they did X and Y. And so I think what Brendan Shanahan is trying to do is he's trying to inject some level of consistency. And so. I don't agree with you that if Brad Boyes, I mean, they have this new rule that if you hit somebody in the head and that's the primary point of contact and that's what you're targeting, then you're going to get suspended.
It doesn't matter who you are.
It doesn't matter who you are. And so, you know, looking, I watched that video about Brad Boyes and I think it's fairly indisputable that he targeted the dude's head and he hit him in the head.
Right.
And so, therefore, he should get suspended. So, for that reason, I definitely applaud Brendan Shanahan for this. I'm sure people might get tired of watching all the videos, but
you don't have to watch them all. I guess you think there's going to be more suspensions early, and they're hoping the players will get the message.
Yeah, that's what I think they're.
But if this happens every day, there's a suspension like every day. I find that irritating.
I find it irritating too. But I think that if the league wants to hold a certain standard. Then they need to hold the standard for as long as it takes.
You're already hearing this from Yahoo's like Alain Vigneault, who's like, oh, Douglas Murray hit LaPierre, and that was worse than what Ashton Rome did, and he should be suspended. And I just worry now it's going to be a bunch of crybabying.
Well, it is Alain Vigneault. So.
That's true. This is going to be like the NFL where guys are on the ground pretending to be hurt.
Mike Ribeiro everywhere.
Oh, jeez.
If you look at those two hits, the Douglas Murray hit and the Rome hit, they're not the same
at
all.
No, they're not the same.
But, you know, I don't mind it. I hope it continues. I mean, obviously, the idea is that you don't want players don't want to be suspended. Players that are suspended forego their salary for those days.
Right.
You know, their salaries are prorated for every day throughout the regular season. So, that goes into like the players' emergency fund or whatever. James Wisniewski's got suspended like 8 NHL games. I mean, he's going to be losing a pretty big chunk of change there.
Right.
And that hit, you know, Shanahan was pretty clear. He's like, listen, the guy was completely defenseless. It was after the whistle. It was after the horn had sounded, and he hit him in the head. I mean, 8 games. In some ways, I could see more for that. Those are exactly the kinds of things you want out of the game. You know, Sidney Crosby says he wants that stuff out of the game. And I saw an interview with, you know, Catherine Tappan on NHL Live or something. And, you know, she said, oh, what do you think about this new rule? And he's like, it's a start. I mean, he didn't even say, like, yeah, this is a good thing, and I think this is really going to do it. It's like, no, he's like, this is a start. And so I think that's what Shanny's trying to do here. It's like, let's start the ball rolling. If you hit a guy in the head, guess what? You're sitting on the bench. It's going to happen every single time. And I hope that message gets through. And frankly, I don't care how long it takes for the message to get through, as long as it gets through.
So if this pattern continues, this is definitely going to be end of the type of player. You know, you could see guys like Trevor Gillies, you know, not having a job anymore. And maybe they don't deserve one if they're not able to play by the rules and keep people's safety in mind. They're just out there headhunting.
Right.
Then they shouldn't be in the league. So a lot of these guys... You know, it's already hard for some of them to find jobs anyways. If the suspension rate keeps up as it is, it could be this could be the slow death of the agitator, dude, in a way.
Yeah, but that's...
Well, people are, you're already getting, you know, you're seeing, now these are two different, well, no, they're not. I don't want to say they're two different things because they're not. You see what happened to Wayne Simmonds, mm-hmm. okay? In where were they? In Canada,
London.
Somewhere, right?
London, Ontario.
You know, someone throws a banana on the ice at him, which is just completely disgusting.
Yeah,
that someone it's disturbing. And I think the most disturbing thing about that was somebody at home decided to bring a banana to the game.
I know.
And premeditate. This is a premed. No one's just like, there's Wayne Simmonds. oh, here's a banana. I'm going to throw it.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
You brought this from home in order to commit like a racial
statement.
Offensive statement during the game.
And you're right. It's not like they're selling bananas at the arena. No. I mean, the guy brought it with
him. No, he brought it with him in order to do what he was going to do.
And there's, you know, and the thing is that some people thought it may not have been a racial statement, which is, you know, obviously ludicrous. God. And those of you who may know a little bit about European soccer, this unfortunately still happens all the time. Yeah. And in a much worse way, like there's like a hail of them coming out of it. I mean, it's really, really appalling to see. It's really, it's like off-putting when you watch it. You're, oh my God, how could that possibly happen?
Right.
And so, you know, to say that it wasn't motivated in that way is ludicrous. And I guess they got the guy now.
Or they did?
I think the cops may have found a guy. They think they found the guy.
Good. I mean, if you see something like that happen...
he tried to throw another one, but it didn't reach the ice earlier in the game.
You see something like that happen in the stance. You know, if you're sitting around that guy, I mean, how do you even, like...
Dude, I mean, I would want to go kick his ass, but I'd probably get my ass kicked, so I wouldn't. I'd just take out my cell phone and take a picture of the dude.
Sure.
If you see somebody doing like that, everybody's got a cell phone camera. Take out your cell phone and take as many pictures of that guy or girl, it might be.
Sure.
As you possibly can. So when the cops can call and, you know, this guy can get, you know, busted for whatever it is. So, yeah, it's just, it's really sad, and it sort of besmirched the whole reputation of London, Ontario, which I'm sure is full of just rabid hockey fans as you can find. And this one person sort of ruined it for everybody.
What about the Sean Avery, Wayne Simmons situation that ironically Wayne Simmons got involved in two incidents this week? One where he is on the receiving end, and then allegedly one where he's on the giving end of a homophobic slur in the Rangers Flyers preseason game. Now, they determined there was not sufficient evidence to give him any sort of punishment. The thing that I found disturbing about the whole thing was, first, Sean Avery coming out and being some sort of huge, you know, classroom tattletale.
Right.
Come on. Yeah. Of all people.
Right.
Of all people. You know,
talk about glass houses and the stones and all.
You shouldn't be saying stuff like that anyways. But you know stuff like that. I mean, I don't know. I'm not a professional athlete, but they say some pretty horrible stuff to each other, I think.
All the time.
All the time.
Right.
It doesn't make it right, but is this what's going to happen? Are there going to be suspensions, dude, and people tattletaling on each other? And, you know, he called me this, or, I mean, it's one thing to be like, he bit me.
Right.
You know, or, but, you know, so-and-so said that my mother smells.
Right.
You know, is that going to be, you know, please suspend him?
Right. Right. Well,
where is this going, I guess, is what I'm asking.
Yeah. You know, I watched PTI and they talked about it today, and or they talked about it maybe, was it, did it come out today or was it yesterday? I can't remember, whichever it was. And, you know, Wilbon said that he has a real problem with them trying to, you know, enforce discipline on something that someone says on the field of play. Mm-hmm. And you know what? I'm a little bit, I can sympathize with that argument. I think, you know, I understand that, you know, there's things that you shouldn't say, and there's things that are hurtful, and there's things that are, you know, terrible to say. But, you know, it's sort of like the heat of the game and people trash talk, and it happens. Clearly, the biggest problem here was that it was caught on videotape, right? You can, theoretically, you can sort of see him say it on video. And if he didn't say it on video, then we probably wouldn't be hearing about this ever. Mm-hmm. And it's probably pretty unfortunate, you know, unlikely that Avery would actually have come out and tattled on him. Oh, guess what he did? You know, basically they got the video and people saw the video and they said, oh, look what he called you. And then Avery said, yeah, pretty much. You know, and then he got on his high horse and ruined the whole thing by saying, oh, I can't believe you would do such a thing. This is ridiculous. You know, oh, well, I never, you know, how dare you? You know, I could sort of see it both ways. The fact that he said that, and if to me, if you can prove that, if it really looks like he said that, and he essentially admits to it, or other witnesses, even if it's Avery, admit to it, then I think you got to fine the guy or suspend him because you got it on tape, and you don't want to be sending the message that it's okay for NHL players to be saying this kind of stuff.
Right.
Of course, if they do say that kind of stuff and it's not caught on tape, go do it. As far as I'm concerned. I mean, it seems a little hypocritical, but, you know, it's a fine line, and you don't want to start just legislating everything the players do on the ice. I don't like that. That's part of the game, chirping at each other. And it's like, what, are you going to get a guy now for swearing? He said the S word. He called me an S.
How many letters was in the word that he said?
He called me.
Spell it out for me, Tommy. Dude, I'm going to ask you this one last thing because I think we're coming up against the time here, right?
Yeah.
Dude, who will be the first Sharks player to get suspended? Because it's going to happen.
Brad Winchester.
Okay.
Yeah. I'll go there.
All right. I'm going to go to a dark place. I'm going to say it's going to be Douglas Murray. I just think the kind of hits and punishment that he doles out, I don't think he's a dirty player.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes he gets himself caught in a situation where he might, you know, level a questionable hit, and it could be Murray who ends up getting that suspension. You know, it's going to happen, and probably pretty early in the season, to someone on the Sharks that they'll be looking for something, and probably Elaine Vigneault will be on the other end jumping up and down for joy. Yay, they got him.
All right.
Murray's so dirty.
Yeah. Well, I hope you're wrong.
I hope so too. I hope no Sharks get suspended and they wash their mouths out with soap.
Yes, and they
don't say any dirty words.
And they join hands under a rainbow and they
the
all
Sharks
sing.
Say the players don't use profanity on the ice.
You're a poopy pants.
Change your diaper face. Oh, dude, it's over 40 minutes.
Yeah, I guess we should get out of here. We got Vancouver coming up.
Vancouver, Drew Doughty's still not signed. Giggle, giggle.
Yeah, yeah.
So good.
So good, dude. And then there's going to be, quite a bit of time off before the first game.
Yeah, it's the last preseason game on Saturday, and then there's a week.
And there's a whole week off.
So next week, we'll continue with our final two division previews, right?
Yeah.
And then we'll make our picks for our Vegas bet.
That's right.
And we'll continue to preview the Sharks. And by then, the roster will probably be fairly finalized. And,
yep.
And we'll be off and running, dude. The season is here.
That's right. And don't forget the 8 hours of fantasy drafts we have this
That's
week.
That's right. We have fantasy drafts on Friday night. We got four drafts.
Thanks for scheduling on a Friday night, dude.
What?
Dude. People do fun things on
Friday.
And
you're saying drafting fantasy is not fun?
No, I'm not saying that at all. I'm saying it's
You don't have to come, dude.
It's extra super fun.
You don't have to play.
Dude, I'm just kidding.
You want to back out?
You know I'll be there. I love doing fantasy draft
I know that
research.
You're great at the draft, and then you're useless the rest of the year. So
well, at least I got one thing going for me.
I'll be managing all five of our team's rosters to mediocrity.
But I'll be happy to give my input. You'll IM me during the day. Should I pick up Mike Ribeiro or should I pick up...
I would never ask you that.
That's true.
There'll be no Mike Ribeiro on this team.
Should I pick up Brian Van Allen or should I pick up Mike Zygmantas?
Mike Zygmantas.
Everybody knows the answer to that.
Yeah.
So anyway, I think that does it for this week, dude. Thanks for the emails and everything and the tweets.
Yeah, keep them coming.
We'll be back again next week, same time, same place.
Rude hockey.
Think the show sucks? Want to get your questions on the air? Email questions at dudesonhockey.com. Dudes on Hockey is not affiliated with the San Jose Sharks organization or the National Hockey League.